Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, beware of the bearded man in the United Club in Chicago. We'll tell you why. And Sacramento and Sonoma County are both getting new air service. Details next.
When bad weather interrupts travel, sometimes a travel waiver can help you rearrange a sticky situation. At 3:20, Gwen Duncan's here to explain travel waivers, how to find them, and why they are critical to your travels.
Do car rental companies have a secret age limit on who they will rent to? Jessica Monsell says apparently so, and she joins us at 3:35 to explain.
Have you ever been on a wine tour by horseback? It's the most unique way to go wine tasting for sure. I have details at 3:50.
Fall has arrived in Sacramento. The seasons are changing. Grab a cup of your favorite beverage and spend the next hour cuddling with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys on KFVK. How you liking this weather, huh? Mark and Tom here with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And, well, Mark, I was in Oregon last week. Where were you?
I was at the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta.
So, well, you were, you didn't fly high, though. You just,
No, I'm way too much of a chicken, you know what, to go up that. I might go up in one of the tethered ones sometime. You know, if they were, they have balloons that are tied to the ground and they go up 500 feet and then they haul them back down again. If it was tied to the ground, just flying around in that little basket with no visible means of support kind of takes me back to the Wizard of Oz, and that didn't end well for him either. So, you know,
that's a great analogy. I kind of feel the same way. I've never done hot air ballooning, and I've really been anxious to be able to do one of the balloon festivals. What was the highlight?
Well, I have been taking people there for a quarter of a century and had never been there. I just will tell you that when the Mass Ascension, they have a thing in the evening called Glodio, where they fire up the balloons after they get them up in the sky a little bit, and they light up against the night sky. That's pretty cool. And then in the daytime, when 500 balloons is just almost beyond your ability to imagine. But the sky is just filled with these wonderful balloons. And the amazing thing is, an hour after the morning, you know, after each ascension is over, there isn't a single balloon in the sky anywhere.
Wow. So 500 balloons all lift off simultaneously.
And they have this thing called the Albuquerque Box, apparently. It's a wind current. And it was perfect one of the mornings that we were there. And it literally causes the balloons to go in a box around the valley in Albuquerque. And it works quite well. It keeps them out of the way of the airplanes and everything. So it's really an amazing event. And before I talk for 60 minutes about it, if you ever get a chance to go to the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta because you've always wanted to go, I highly recommend that you do go, because I waited a long time to get there and it was well worth the wait, and I am going back.
Awesome. Well, look, we'll talk a little bit about my trip up to Oregon, to Portland, to Newport, hanging out at the Elizabeth Street Inn, and all of that a little later on in the program. But let's get to it. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with the travel news, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
Well, we're talking about new air service, both in Sacramento and in Sonoma County. Do you know they had an airport in Sonoma County? Yeah.
I did not.
It's named after Charles Schulz, you know, the Peanuts creator.
Really?
Yeah, because he was born up there. And so it's the Charles Schulz at Sonoma County Airport. They have service from Alaska Airlines North and South, but they now have gotten American Airlines to come in with a flight to Phoenix every day. So that is very good news for them. It will start on February the 16th. I'm sure we have a few listeners in our listening audience who are up in the Napa Sonoma area, so that will help them tremendously. And here in Sacramento, Southwest Airlines has announced a daily flight to Salt Lake City, which is going to start in March. It will depart in mid-afternoon. It will arrive from Salt Lake City and turn around and go back there. And so for the first time ever, You don't have to, if you want to get nonstop to Salt Lake City, you don't have to take Delta Airlines now. If you're flexible on your time, there's only one Southwest flight a day. The other good news is that these new flights on Southwest to Salt Lake City are $59 each way, which is a great price. And they have, it has caused the Delta fares to come down significantly. So for at least for a while, it's going to be cheaper to go to Salt Lake City starting in the spring from Sacramento. So check that out.
You know,
online.
That it seems like whenever Southwest steps in and picks up flights to other areas, they do drive the prices down for everybody else. I think that's great news.
Absolutely. And the only way you could get to Salt Lake City before this, unless you took Delta, of course, was to go to San Francisco on United or go more likely on Southwest to Las Vegas and then go to Salt Lake City. But the change of planes and the misdirection and everything turns an hour and a half flight into a 3.5-4 hour travel excursion if you're lucky. So here's a way that at least it's an it's only in the afternoon, but hopefully, like I said, it will have an impact for a while at least on the fares to Salt Lake City in general. So thank you, Southwest Airlines. Trash in our national parks is becoming a big problem. Over 100 million pounds of garbage is generated by national park visitors each year. But the Park Service has come up with a kind of a unique idea. Actually, it's not necessarily their idea per se, but three parks, Yosemite, Grand Teton, and Denali, are working on a special program, a special zero landfill program. And the idea is to create a situation where nothing goes into the landfill in the parks. It's either taken out or it's composted or recycled or reused or whatever. So congratulations to the National Park Service. They have taken off on this project, and we'll see what it looks like in a year or two. But in the meantime, if you're going to a national park, you might think about the fact that taking disposable items is not good, because then they have to be disposed of. So perhaps you're taking things to parks, snacks and stuff like that. You might want to think about taking them in containers that you can take back home with you, reusable containers that you can take back home and use later.
Well, you know, people should, and I think I will take this up whenever I go to a national park or whatever, is the Burning Man philosophy of what you take with you. Mm-hmm. You know, you leave nothing behind. No and trace that you'd even been there.
That goes for state parks also. Yeah, well, it's you know, the only old thing about the national park is take only your memories, leave only your footprints.
There you go.
So that's kind of the old adage from those who, that's an old saying. Okay, I mentioned in the headlines, don't feed the or talk to the bearded man in United's O'Hare Club.
I've been anxious to hear about this. I don't know what that was. The T's got my attention.
Kevin Murphy, the general manager at Sports Leisure Vacations, turned me on to this story, but uniquely, I had already heard it on a United airplane a couple of weeks earlier. Apparently, the old guy, Jeff Smyzik, who was the CEO at United Airlines until a year and a half ago, part of his severance package was that he got lifetime flight benefits on United. So he's a fairly recognizable person. So apparently what he has done is he has grown a beard, hoping that no one would recognize him at all if he went in. And of course, he hangs out in the United clubs and stuff like that.
Right.
If I were him, I probably would have negotiated lifetime flight benefits on a different carrier. But nonetheless, because Mr. Smyzik was not popular with his employees, and he certainly was not popular with the travelers. So he goes into the United Club in Chicago, he's in there for a minute, and passengers are recognizing him right away. And coming up to, you're Jeff Smyzik, aren't you? And of course, people weren't, you know, being too terribly rude, but I'm guessing that the opportunity to take a cheap shot.
Yeah, how you liking retirement, buddy?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, if you're in the, and apparently someone walked up, was what this reporter wrote, in the United Club the other day, a passenger came up to him and said, "You should be ashamed of yourself."
Oh, boy.
And he just looked at her and didn't say a word. So anyway, beware of the bearded man in United's club in Chicago, because he might be the former CEO. And of course, maybe you have something you'd like to share with him about that. All right, I have a couple of quick local announcements here. Jack London State Historic Park is having their Classic Film Festival November 3rd through the 5th. And they have some recently discovered 1941 vintage footage of Hollywood celebrities and some folks that were from the Sonoma area up there. So they're going to be showing that November 3rd through the 5th, the Jack London Film Festival. And you can go to travelguysradio.com and get some more information on that. And finally, this Tuesday, the 18th of October at 6 p.m., the Sacramento City Council is scheduled to decide whether to approve funding for the long-awaited community center theater transformation. And Richard Lewis and the folks at California Music Theater sent out an email to all of their supporters, and I thought I would take a minute to mention it here on the radio. This is kind of important because that big cavern down there, about the only thing I can say about the theater in Sacramento is it has plenty of legroom. The acoustics are awful. There's no center aisle. It has sufficed as our theater for a long time, and it is time to make something better. So they will move, if this plan goes through, they will move across the street to Memorial Auditorium for a year. Some improvements are planned there while the theater is redone, and then move back into it in the season 2019-2020. I will put some information, a link to the letter that Richard sent out for you on travelguysradio.com. If you are inclined, the city council meeting is Tuesday night at 6 o'clock at 915 I Street. And it's an RSVP is not required to attend, but it's a good idea if you plan to speak to let them know in advance. And this letter gives you details on that. So if you're a theater advocate in Sacramento, this is your chance to stand up for something good on Tuesday night. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, here on KFBK. Look, if I've ever been in a situation where you've been your trip has been interrupted by weather, sometimes travel waivers can help you rearrange a sticky situation. Gwen Duncan joins us coming up in just about 3 minutes. Talk about travel waivers and why they're critical to your travels right here on the Travel Guys. You've tuned to the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And time to bring back our cordially yours girl, having nothing to do with donuts. It's Gwen Duncan, as in
our travel gal.
Our travel gal. Welcome, Gwen.
Hello.
All right, Mark. Yes, welcome. What do we got
welcome
going
into,
on?
Welcome into, as they say in presidential elections, Gwen. Welcome into the locker room.
Well, we're going to be a little cleaner than that.
Oh, we're going to be a lot cleaner. Gwen is our gal who helps us with unusual travel situations, and today she is here to really help make our listeners smarter travelers. Recently, there was a hurricane back east. It impacted a lot of people's travel plans for a number of days, probably is still impacting some people's travel situations. But when something like that happens, frequently suppliers like airlines and hotels and some transportation services will issue what they call travel waivers. They will say, okay, we understand you can't travel with us at this time. Here is a window where you can reschedule your trip or get a refund or whatever the situation might be. And in some cases, knowing how to find those things or just knowing what they are and that they exist can really help you out of a tough situation. So that's why we've asked Gwen Duncan to join us and talk about these things. Gwen, does that kind of get a head start on what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's perfect. That was perfect.
So when it comes to travel waivers, tell folks about them.
Let's say you're at the airport and you look up and there are a bunch of canceled flights. Yours happens to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a couple of alternatives. The one thing you need to know is that if the airline cancels the flight, you're due a cash refund, even if your flight is a non-refundable flight.
Now, that's really important. That's a really important thing to emphasize, is that if the airline cancels your flight, if your flight does not operate, the airline they can't just say, well, here's a travel credit. I mean, if you're willing to accept a travel credit, then I guess they can say that. But if your flight does not operate, you're entitled to a refund for that ticket.
Now, is it quite common for them to offer you one or the other?
You know, they could probably offer it to you if you're willing to take it, because it's a bilateral agreement, you know.
Tom, they also know that a huge percentage of those credits are never redeemed.
That's true.
So there's a huge difference to the airline's bottom line to throw out, and you say, well, gosh, that was generous of them. They gave everybody on the airplane a $200 credit. But the airline knows that the majority of those credits will never, never, ever come back to them. So it's pennies on the dollar is kind of the point, is when they're giving a credit. Mm-hmm. So when you're due a refund, you need to know that you have that option. And if your flight is canceled by the airline, then you have the option of receiving a full refund, not a travel credit, but a full refund. So anyway, Gwen, we're in the airport and our flight has been canceled. We're able to get a refund. But what if you're in the airport and your flight has been canceled? Are there any other alternatives besides a refund?
Well, you can change the schedule, and they won't charge you a change fee.
Well, now, we're talking about being at the airport. Let's pretend for a minute you were scheduled to go east. It's a couple of days before departure. You see all this weather coming up. How do you find out if an airline is offering a travel waiver?
Best and quickest way is to, if you've got online services, is to go on to the website. You look up that particular airline that you're going to be flying with, and then check about flight delays and cancellations. It'll be under something like that, or it'll say travel alerts. Every airline has a different passageway, but then that will tell you what the canceled flights are, and they'll give you directions on what you can do about it if you're affected.
In regards to a waiver or credits or cash back, does it matter the reason for the flight being canceled, weather-related versus mechanical?
No.
I like that answer. That's simple enough.
Yeah. There you got two votes.
Well, I mean, when it's the fault of the airline and not yours, you know, like Mark said, if you call to cancel, then that's a choice you made. But when it's something that you are being the recipient of bad news, then you have an advantage there. Well, if you want to call it that, right, Mark?
Well, but you have to be careful with these travel waivers because, first of all, they're not always very obvious. Sometimes they're splashed in front of you in big red letters, and sometimes it just says travel waivers or travel updates up in the, you know, in some small spot. So sometimes you have to look for that. And a lot of times the waiver will say something to the effect of, if you were scheduled to fly on Tuesday the 13th or Wednesday the 14th, we will allow you to reschedule your flight for any time in the next 2 weeks.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean that you can not go. It means that if you decide not to reschedule in those next 2 weeks, and that can be problematical for people because sometimes the thing you were going for was an event or something that now is not taking place, hasn't been rescheduled, whatever. But in some cases, you'll get a travel waiver, which is different, entirely different from a cancellation. If there's a waiver, that just means that the airline is giving you a break. What about hotels, Gwen? Do you find hotels in situations like this are a little more forgiving than the airlines?
I have not seen that they're as forgiving as the airlines as far as just right out canceling. But if it's something like a terrorism or it is bad weather, like it's flooded, they couldn't have you come in anyway. Many reservations you don't pay in advance. So the best thing to do is to have travel insurance to cover those issues.
And it's important to know that we're talking here specifically about travel waivers,
right,
which is an opportunity for you to reschedule your trip, but not an opportunity to be refunded. And sometimes these situations are a matter of timing. If you jump the gun and cancel your trip 2 days before the airline issues a travel waiver, then you're stuck with, as you made clear, Gwen, that was your decision to cancel. You didn't wait for their decision to cancel, so now you're stuck with your decision. So some of these things can be a little bit dicey, and in some cases, I recommend to folks that you watch and you wait. It doesn't matter to you in terms of what the airline's going to charge you, whether you cancel 3 days in advance or an hour and a half in advance.
That's right. So if you're getting
into one of these situations, sometimes it's better to wait the airline out a little bit and wait for that travel waiver and see what it is before you make the decision to cancel and create something that creates a penalty for yourself.
Right. That's all the more reason why I seriously consider the travel insurance. Let me tell you, I had somebody who was going to be on a Seabourn cruise, and speaking of cruises, and the Seabourn cruise, they were getting ready to cancel, and I said, don't cancel yet, because there was something really rough going on terrorism-wise. It was in Egypt. And these people wanted to cancel, and I said, just wait and wait and wait, and sure enough, the cruise line canceled, so they got their money back. The problem was they also did a pre and post to do the Nile, and that company didn't cancel. And if you don't have insurance, then they were out the investment they made on that tour because that company didn't cancel.
Very good point.
Really, there are so many things that can happen with whether it's terrorism, bad weather, inoperable equipment, or whatever. You want to be really be prepared, but knowing what you can do, and travel waivers is one of them. When it's the vessel or the airline or whatever that's canceling, that's to your advantage.
We are talking with Gwen Duncan, Cordially Yours Travel, our travel agent and expert here on The Travel Guys. Mark, before we began our conversation, you mentioned something about Spirit Airlines getting in a bit of a bind in regards to...
They started telling people that you'll have to accept this voucher and there will be a $200 penalty for canceling your ticket or whatever it is that Spirit charges for canceling a ticket, only to find out 24 hours later that they had been giving people the wrong information. And this is, you know, when you do business with these people who are on the edge, on the fringe, and something weird happens, you can expect to be on the fringe. So that's what you're buying. When you buy a really inexpensive product in any walk of life, but especially in travel, you tend to get what you pay for. So it amazes me that people who do business with these secondary air carriers and secondary car rental companies and stuff like that are surprised when they have problems. And people who buy things through third-party online travel agencies and then can't get, and just like Gwen's talking about, there's three or four components to your trip and one or two components refunds perfectly, but the other ones won't refund. And then the online travel agency says, well, you know, I guess you're stuck yourself. If you'd had a real travel agent, you'd have somebody who could advocate for you.
You're absolutely right. When you're talking about waivers, though, this is real important, especially if you're talking about cruises. Waiver plans and travel insurance are two different things. And a lot of people don't recognize that. If you're asked, do you want to get a waiver for like a cruise line, maybe in many cases, that's just telling you that if you cancel before the cruise, you can get your money back. That's only for pre-departure. So people think they're buying a travel insurance, and they're finding out all they got was cancellation insurance.
The bottom line is that if your cruise doesn't go, if it's canceled because of bad weather, and the cruise line says to you, well, we'll offer you a waiver. You can reschedule for any time in the next year, and we'll give you a $200 onboard credit. And you say, well, I really don't want to go any time in the next year. How about if you just send me a refund? And they said, well, we can't do that.
No.
Then you have to inform them that, yes, you can. If they cancel the cruise and you want a refund,
yes,
then you're within your rights to ask.
Right. Right.
That's exactly right. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel, thank you for making us smarter travelers today on The Travel Guys.
You guys have a great time. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gwen. Coming up after the news on The Travel Guys, do car rental companies have a secret age limit on who they rent to that we don't know about? Jessica Monsell from Elliott.org joins us next.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Mark and Tom, The Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations on your radio every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And as we promoted earlier and promised, it was time to bring back our travel gal, somewhat of a regular now with us, Jessica Monsell, who writes with Elliott.org. Welcome back, Jessica.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be back.
It's nice to have you back on the air with us, Jessica. You penned an article here this last week about a gentleman, an older gentleman, who tried to rent a car from Hertz Rental Car, and it didn't work out too well for him. Why don't you fill us in on the story?
No, it didn't work out so well. So he headed over to Ireland and had booked a car in advance with Hertz. But before he did that, he called the company to make sure that he didn't need to do anything additional because he happens to be 84 years old. And rental car companies in Europe do have maximum age limits for renting.
So he was being proactive.
He was being proactive. He called and they told him, we don't have an upper age limit, but we do need you to provide your letter from your insurance carrier that you have not had an accident in the last 5 years, as well as a letter from your physician stating that you are able to drive and you're physically capable. So he obtained those documents, booked the car, and when he arrived to the airport in Shannon, Ireland, they said, sorry, you're too old.
Now, wait a minute. If they told him, if Hertz told him, bring X, Y, and Z, and we'll rent you the car with no problem, and you get to the Hertz agency, and they say, we won't rent you the car, that seems kind of like a double jeopardy thing. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Right. So what he did, he went to other rental companies in the airport, and they didn't have any upper age limits. But according to him, they also didn't have any cars available. So then he started canceling his plans to travel through Ireland. He started, you know, changing his reservations, you know, which, of course, incurs all kinds of fees. And then someone in the airport said, well, downtown, there's a rental company, and that company rented to him. So then he came to us asking if we could get him a refund on all those fees from Hertz. And Hertz was a little reluctant. They told him he was too old at the counter, but then what they told me was that they were not comfortable that he was safe to take the car. Now, I don't know how you interpret that, but someone else in the industry said maybe perhaps there was something else going on. Now, most transatlantic flights arrive in the morning in Europe. I don't know if he might have been maybe drinking on the plane. I really don't know. But to me, it seems unlikely in any event that after you go through customs and all of that stuff and get finally to the rental counter that you could be intoxicated.
You could look a little helter-skelter, I mean, because most people, when they get off of and I don't know if this gentleman had a connecting flight or not, you know, how long he'd been traveling, but, right. You know, your hair might not be in perfectly coiffed, and you might look like you just got out of bed or something like that because you may have just woken up. So it's possible the gentleman didn't look perfect when he went to the counter.
I would imagine a lot of us at one time or another have walked up to a car rental counter being a little bit like we had drugged through a knot hole backwards after a long flight, but nobody questions, you know, if you're not and maybe a senior looking, or the fact that he divulged his age or whatever, that it would be an issue. Here again, Jessica, so what was the final outcome?
So what happened eventually, when I started asking Hertz if they were, you know, what was their basis for refusing to rent to the customer, they stopped answering my question, but then they issued him a check, surprise, in the mail for the $206 that he was asking for. So they did in the end come through for him, but we'll never quite know why.
This is kind of a common thing at Elliott.org, is that, Tom, is that once in a while they start inquiring on someone's behalf, and then the merchant in question, the supplier, travel supplier in question, sometimes has some second thoughts and decides, well, you know, this is not going to end well for me. And so they make a secret agreement sometimes with the person who's complaining. They either just fire them off whatever it is they were asking for, or they fire them off whatever they were asking for and say, you can't ever tell anybody what happened here. So, but the bottom line is that the man did get his money back after you intervened. But I guess the bigger question here is, because I have a lot of older folks who travel with me, and sometimes they travel independently, how are they going to know if somebody's in their 80s and they're renting a car, even stateside, that somebody arbitrarily won't look at them and say, well, you're not fit to drive the car?
Right. And I did talk with actually some folks at Enterprise who were not involved in this case.
Right.
Here in the States, they do not have upper age limits in the United States. And they said, you know, if you can walk through the door and get to the counter and we feel comfortable that you are not going to pose a hazard to others on the road, we'll rent you a car and we want to make our customers happy. So that's what Enterprise told me. I'm not sure how common, you know, this type of occurrence is, but you know, I think chronological age is not necessarily a good judge of, you know, how capable someone is.
Absolutely.
Behind the wheel. You know, because obviously a driver of any age could pose a hazard on the road. young or old. So
yeah, with that being said, as you mentioned, and I was going to ask that, in the United States, there's no upper age limit. I can't remember if I've ever noticed in any documentation at a car rental place, much like other businesses, where they can, without reason, decide that they have the right to refuse rental or service to whoever they choose.
Yes. Enterprise did tell me that they do, you know, they are a private company and they can refuse service. They can refuse to rent a car to someone if they have reason to. So what that reason, I suppose, would be, you know, a matter of discretion, but, yeah. But I guess that's done on a case by case basis and not as a company policy.
Well, thanks for bringing this to light, Jessica, because really and truly, it's food for thought. I mean, if you're an older person and you're renting a car, especially overseas, you got to be careful. Okay, we're talking with Jessica Monsell from Elliott.org on the Travel Guys. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about something else that was on the Elliott.org website over the last couple of weeks. Ed Perkins has been writing about it. It's about a pending bill in the legislature that would prohibit retribution for people who write negative reviews on TripAdvisor and Yelp.
So specifically here, what this proposed law would do is to prevent lodging or vacation rental owners from inserting these gag clauses into their rental contracts, which had been preventing people or sort of intimidating people, dissuading them or discouraging them from posting negative online reviews, which, of course, people rely on when they're going to, you know, choose their travel destinations and where they're going to be accommodated.
Well, and Jessica, I wanted to talk to you about this because of the fact that I know you have a legal background. And indeed, we're increasingly seeing, well, you know, you can't post, you agree by signing this contract here of sometimes of adhesion, that you are willing to, you're not ever going to say anything bad about us online. So what this bill would do is allow, is basically make it illegal for people to insert those clauses into those contracts and allow folks to post online a legitimate review. If you post something that isn't legitimate and isn't honest and isn't truthful, why, that's a whole different situation. But what we're talking about is folks who just get in trouble for posting negative reviews online or get blacklisted, even worse, from a particular service or something like that. So thank you for a little bit of legal. Do you think this bill has a chance of making it through the Congress?
Well, I think there's been one version of it that was passed in the Senate, another that was passed in the House. So I think that it'll probably move ahead. But the I think the practical effect here is that, you know, companies can still or rental owners can still sue you. Your freedom of speech is not protected in the sense that you still cannot be sued. What it does is just changes those contract terms. So, you know, I do have a legal background, and we do say that this is the United States of America, where anyone can be sued anytime for anything. So, you know, you still have to be careful about what you say online. You want it to be honest and factual.
At least allows you to be able to post things that you wish. Jessica, thank you so much for another really informative segment. Keep up the good work at Elliott.org, our favorite consumer advocate site, and we'll talk to you again soon on The Travel Guys.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. Coming up after a short break, let's go wine touring by horseback with The Travel Guys. Mark and Tom here with the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. These days, wine touring, going to the wine country in Napa, maybe up to Amador, or for that matter, up to Oregon in the Willamette Valley to do some wine tasting is very, very popular. And most people will either drive their old family vehicle or a lot of times they'll take a limousine. How about this? How would you like to go wine tasting by horseback? Well, my special guest today on the program does just that. He takes people on equestrian wine tours. My guest, Jake Price from the Equestrian Wine Tours in Dayton, Oregon. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Jake.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Now, let's start off by telling our audience a little bit about what they can expect when they go on a Jake Price Equestrian Wine Tour. Kind of, as you might say, walk us through it, one horse foot at a time.
Okay. We do start at Wine Country Farms in Dayton, and just because they have a little arena there, we try to make all of our rides private rides, but we're starting to expand, and then we're getting more guides all the time because it's been active year this year. So we have about 40 head of horses. So we have a tour at 11 and one at 2.
Now, on these tours, Jake, first of all, you know, I know people are saying to themselves, well, I don't ride a horse. I've never really done that. What skill level do you have to climb aboard one of your horses?
Just an ease around horses. You don't have to have, I have so many people who have never been on a horse, and these are all Tennessee walking horses, so they're all, instead of trotting, they have what they call a running walk, which is a more comfortable gait where you just sit in the saddle. You don't bounce.
Yes. Well, that just added a whole bunch of people to your list that would go ahead and do this. No bouncing. All right. So we're Tennessee walking horses. It's a nice, smooth, easy ride. Now, okay, I got somebody with me here that's only like 5 feet tall, 5'2". How do they get on that horse?
Well, I've learned not to try to help people on, so I have a step stool at every winery we go to. Our shortest tour is 2.5 hours, and we can usually hit like 3 wineries all up in the Red Hills there.
Okay, so you go up through the Red Hills, and now you're riding on paths, or do you actually go like right through the vineyards or what?
Oh, you can. We ride right through the vineyards. We don't go head to tail.
Got it. Okay, so you're kind of on your own.
Yes.
Now, how long do you stay at each winery?
Usually about 20 minutes. And what's so crazy about this, Tom, is all 3 wineries have a totally different view.
You want to drop some names here? Where do you stop?
Okay, we start at Wine Country Farm, and it's a winery too. And then we go to White Rose, Vista Hills, and Winter's Hill. Person wants to do a little longer ride, then we go to Stoller's, Sokol Blosses, Durant's.
Approximately how far do you think you travel on horseback during your ride?
Oh, I would say maybe 1.5 miles.
Got it. Okay.
So you don't get sore.
Jake, I know that somewhere along the line, you probably had an experience or two with something out of the ordinary that occurred on one of your rides. Is any particular story come to mind?
Well, we've got all kinds of different people that have asked different questions, to the point of one person asked if horses are meat eaters.
Okay.
And, you know, so you have to be on your toes at all times, because I just said, I guess the mean ones are. I don't know.
Our special guest today on the Travel Guys, Jake Price, Equestrian Wine Tours, Dayton, Oregon. You can find a link to their website at travelguysradio.com. Jake, thanks for joining us today.
And thank you, Tom. Yeah.
Sounds like, my friend, that you and your family had a wonderful time up in Oregon, horse riding. And what else did you do?
Well, first let me say something about the Equestrian Wine Tours. And thanks to Jake and Shirley and our guide, Sarah, who, by the way, was also a trick rider in her spare time. We had a fabulous time. You know, when we went to do this, we thought, well, this seems kind of unique. It looks like it might be kind of fun. But it was even more fun than we could possibly imagine. As you know, Mark, the areas there in Oregon and where the vineyards are and so forth is so beautiful. And to actually go right down the middle of the vines on your horseback, it was kind of difficult to want to stop and go into the wineries. But then once you did that, you were back out on the horses and had a fabulous time. Definitely recommend it. I think we're going to put a link on our website, travelguysradio.com, and you can find out more. We stayed at one of your favorite places. In fact, you're the one that turned me on to it. Sports Leisure Vacation Travelers have been staying there for years, the Elizabeth Street Inn. And Jennifer and the staff there were just so good. And you had told me that this was really a unique place because all of the rooms face the ocean. You know, we had a sliding door that goes out onto a little balcony. You leave the door open in the evening time and you hear the ocean. Just, you know, and that sound just put you to sleep. Had a little fireplace in every room. Great place to stay. While we were in Newport, we hit the aquarium. We visited the Rogue Brewery. Of course, we had to do the pig and a pancake. And we had had a little lunch at Moe's. And then off we went to down to Florence. And I know you go there to, I think it's called the Sand Dunes Frontier.
Ride the dune buggies.
Yeah, the Sand Dunes Frontier. And when we got there, unfortunately, they had closed a little early. So, but there was the Torex ATV rental just up the street. Now, this one is a little more daring because you either get a small dune buggy that holds four or you get on an ATV. Now, ATVs are, for those that know anything about them, are a little precarious. You got four wheels and they do have a tendency to kind of slip around a little bit. And we had virtually, you know, a 5-minute crash course in driving these things because we were kind
Emphasis
of short
on crash.
We were kind of short on time. But we made our way out to the dunes through the backwoods. And I don't know what I was expecting to see. I expected to see kind of a beach and maybe the ocean. And you drive up and down the beach or something. We get out there, and here is, looks like miles and miles of mountains and mountains of sand. And because it had been raining, the sand was pretty much pristine. There were six of us all together, and within 30 minutes, we were just, you know, miles apart, and we would meet in different locations, and we would stop and would take some photographs. It was really breathtaking. And
what did this cost, may I ask?
The ATVs were $50 for an hour.
Okay.
And trust me, an hour out on the dune buggy
was plenty.
It was. And one of the things that I discovered about the horseback riding and the dune bugging was similar is that when you first got on the horse, you were uneasy. You weren't sure what you were doing. And within the 2-hour ride, by the time you were done, hey, you were an expert, man. You were maneuvering your horses.
Let's consider here that you had one big advantage with the horse.
Well, the horse.
No matter how much wine you drank, the horse knew its way back, and the horse was sober. So you can't. When you go out on your own and you have an automobile, you don't have that advantage of, you know, the car doesn't automatically know its way home. Eventually, it will. But
that's
anyway.
True.
That just.
But the thing,
I thought about that as you were talking about it.
Yes, but the thing that was similar was that you know, here you are on this vehicle you've never driven. It shifts different. It gasses different. Brakes different. And you're out in an area then. On sand that you're not really used to, but literally 30 minutes in, you feel like you've just mastered this. And by the time you're done, you're just like in total control. And all I can tell you is the entire family between the two adventures just thought that this was some of the best time they'd ever been on a vacation. And it was something that you can always tell by how much we talk about it afterwards. And we're still talking about it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because that's the Oregon coast is really one of the great places in the Western United States to visit. So I'm glad you got up there. And not only did you get a chance to enjoy the ocean, but it sounds like that you had some pretty good adventures along the way.
We
did.
We spent a day in Portland. Next time I'd like to spend a little bit more time. But we had a swell time there, had some great eats downtown, and took advantage of one of the nicest zoos I've ever seen. It is just very, very beautiful, well laid out.
So I
recommend the Portland Zoo if you're ever in that area. And again, go to travelguysradio.com for some links and some pictures. And that just about does it for another edition of The Travel Guys. Any last thoughts?
We'll be back with you next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Lay an hour aside for The Travel Guys every Sunday afternoon. Thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you. You stay well, my friends. We are The Travel Guys. See you next Sunday at 3.